lot depends on our ability to make better decisions. In other words, we know, for example, you brought up COVID, that people who are having the worst outcome, people with type 2 diabetes who are obese, have hypertension, these are situations that represent, with all due respect, bad choices.
Thank you, Dr. Pillorn, for being with us today. You're so awesome. So you're out in, are you in Palm Beach, or where are you again in Florida?
No, we live in Southwest Florida, so we're on the other coast.
Okay. Beautiful.
All good. And just finished a really interesting podcast with a guy named Wim Hof. I'm not sure if you know
him. Oh, yeah.
And he has the Iceman. He has a new book out, there it is. And, and we had a lot of fun. Very interesting time together.
Oh, cool. Did you go through some of the breath work exercises with them?
We didn't do it in the podcast, but we've been actually doing stuff like that for quite some time. So,
yeah.
Although you don't really get cold water immersion here in Florida.
Right.
You fake it.
Yeah. Or you can just do the ice tub in your backyard.
We could do that. Just in the bathtub. You're right. So we're talking today about detoxifying the brain.
Well, we are talking today about brainwash.
Oh,
I'm so excited. It literally got here for my time about 12:55. It landed on my doorstep. And so I'm so happy. I can't wait to read it. I'm so happy I have it here to show everyone. This is what we're talking about today. And I thought a great way to kind of go into it is just what you said, you know, detox your mind. And I gave a bit of an introduction before you joined in, just that you were just such a brilliant human, you know, you're a 4 certified neurologist, you're a 5-time New York Times bestselling author, you've written great books, and I know a lot of our audience members have already read some of your books, and they've already, you know, some of them have already pre-ordered this while we're waiting for you, which is so exciting, but it's really interesting what you have to share about the book, and especially because you're a neurologist, and I just think that you're such a great person to talk about. And especially with 2020, you know, just the way our thoughts, our relationship, the distraction with media and our devices, and how this is really toxic for our brain and our overall health. And so, you know, I'm just going to let you take it away because there's just so much information.
Take it away.
Yeah.
Well, I think the biggest thing that we brought to light in Brainwash, and that's been most valuable for people, and that is we've really defined not only how we make our decisions, but how we can change our ability to make decisions.
Yeah.
So let me break that down a little bit. We can make decisions that either come from one part of the brain, decisions that are impulsive. We don't think them through. We don't think about the consequences. We don't think about how they're going to impact other people. That's called the amygdala part of the brain. Or we can choose to tap into the part of the brain called the prefrontal cortex up here behind your forehead, which allows you to think about other people, about the future, what are the consequences of my decisions. It's not that, you know, I want the chocolate cake right now, I'm going to eat it, bingo, end of story. Or I'm going to do this or, you know, be aggressive about this political thing and not care about how it plays, how it affects other people. So I think it's really quite clear, especially these days, that a lot depends on our ability to make better decisions. In other words, we know, for example, you brought up COVID, that people who are having the worst outcome, people with type 2 diabetes who are obese, have hypertension, these are situations that represent, with all due respect, bad choices. Bad choices as it relates to lifestyle, as it relates to food, exercise, sleep, stress. And therefore, in a very real sense, we can choose to improve our outcome as it relates to COVID infection, because we can choose not to be as burdened by those diseases. We can choose to recognize, for example, that our immune systems are messed up when we are a type 2 diabetic, when we are obese, when we are not sleeping, all these things. When our immune systems are messed up, we have a higher risk of getting COVID, a higher risk of a bad outcome. But let's broaden this a little bit and talk about the fact that the main mechanism that's underlying people having a bad outcome is inflammation.
Right. And
inflammation is the underpins this mechanism of Alzheimer's, heart disease, diabetes, cancer. So even beyond COVID will pass, God willing.
Right.
Our mission is to make good choices to reduce inflammation so we can live a longer and healthier life.
Absolutely. And
what we're talking about in the book is not so much the decisions that we make, but how we make our decisions. What is the anatomy of decision-making? How we can reconnect to the prefrontal cortex, make better decisions for ourselves, and I can make better decisions as it relates to you, versus remain locked into decisions that are reptilian, that only think about today. And you know, that's why I think this book has gotten so much traction, is because people realize they're in control of their actual hardware for making decisions.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's so relevant right now and so needed. You know, I mean, I think this is relevant all the time, but especially right now, because we are having, you know, people's brains are spinning away. When I work with clients, I just did a podcast and someone had asked me, like, what are the two things that your clients come to you the most for? And I said, stress, you know, stress and fear, stress and anxiety and lack of sleep, especially this year. That in and of itself is almost like a pandemic within the pandemic. So, you know,
stress locks you into this amygdala. It locks you into bad decision making. What does that do?
Right.
Amplifies your stress, which locks you in. It's a vicious cycle. And what this book is about is that breaking that cycle, stopping the fanning of the flames of fear, of loss of control, of self-centeredness, of narcissism, and realizing, you know, people say, oh yeah, we're all in this together. It's nice to say that, but actions speak louder than words. We need to really embrace that and know that what we do affects other people.
Right. And so, you know, it just in some of the notes that I was going through, you know, can you, for someone who maybe isn't quite grasping what you're saying yet, can you give everyone some examples of how our mind gets pulled in that direction? What are the things that we're doing that rewire our minds in the wrong direction? And then, of course, how we can rewire it back in the way that we want it to be.
What you just said is perfect. Because you open the door to the fact that we can control the wiring of our brains. Man, oh man, that's not something that I would have learned in medical school.
Right.
But we can choose whether we wire into the fear center and amplify that superhighway, or that we distance ourselves from the fear center and wire into the more compassionate part of the brain called the prefrontal cortex. Mm-hmm. How do we do that? Well, number one, we have to stop fanning the flames of fear. We've got to turn off the news. I'm not saying be uninformed.
Right.
You know, read the paper each day, great. But to leave the TV on day in and day out and have your mind being constantly bombarded that the end is near and you may as well prepare for it, that locks you into this mentality and you can't get out of your own way. Social media tends to do the same thing. It fans the flames of you not being good enough. As you look at other people's media feeds to see what they're doing, why am I not doing that? Mm-hmm. What can I do to better myself? What do I need to buy? And you know, what social media addiction ultimately does, or internet addiction, is it distances you from interacting with people on a real-time basis. What you and I are doing right now is so valuable for our own brains.
Yeah.
You're helping my brain right now.
Yeah.
As opposed to mindlessly spending hours going from one internet site to the next, which leads you down the hole of despair, of lack of self-worth, and ultimately fear.
Right.
Face it, your time on the internet is valuable to other people. Where your eyeballs go has great value. And your attention is absolutely manipulated moment to moment. Whatever you might have looked up a week ago, you were thinking of taking a trip to Barbados, whatever, magically, you're going to be on your computer looking at something. There's going to be a trip to Barbados discount that is available to you.
Right.
Or you were searching about some clothing. Our brains are being actively manipulated. That's a conspiracy theory. You know, Facebook and YouTube, they all cop to it. They all are working with algorithms to take Serena's attention away from where you want it to go and redirect it for their own good. Mm-hmm. That's unfair. And I think calling it out, making people aware of that early on, I think is very, very important. What we're doing right now is very therapeutic. It's good for your viewers because we're sharing, hopefully, meaningful, empowering information. But it's the mindlessness and the time wasted on social media that tends to fan the fear, the flames of fear, and lock us into that poor decision making.
Yeah, and you know, you brought up such a good point that I really like to highlight. Is that someone said The Social Dilemma. Definitely, if you guys haven't seen that movie, I would say go watch The Social Dilemma. It really gives a lot of insight to what Dr. Perlmutter is saying. But what you said that I think it's so important to highlight is that it's being manipulated around us. So if you find yourself in this rabbit hole where your brain is washed in a way, or it's being wired to kind of fall into fear, or, you know, these fall into that sort of instant gratification, and you find yourself, at least now you know, it's not your fault. You know, it's just like, don't feel bad, don't feel guilt or shame about it. Just like, know that this is just how it is. You know, this is what these companies are doing, but you have total control of it. You know, now that you know.
John wants to say, hey, it's going on.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. The social dilemma, it's real. Mm-hmm. They're not denying. I mean, it's how Facebook makes money.
Right.
It's a great model. I mean, if you're only interested in the bottom line and making money at the cost of all else. But I think our mission in writing Brainwash was to call it out.
Yep.
A. And B, not only call out that it's happening, but call it out in terms of what it's doing to your brain in terms of rewiring you for Instagram.
Yep.
And dare I say, fear and feelings of inadequacy. So, the more that happens, the deeper you get. The other area I think I would like to explore is the notion that we're not sleeping enough.
Yeah.
And lack of adequate and restorative sleep immediately, as in one poor night's sleep, the next day amplifies activity in the amygdala, the fear center, the poor decision maker. Yeah. By as much as 60%. It lights it up.
Wow.
Why you don't get a good night's sleep. It's why that very next day you make poor food decisions.
Wow.
What does that do, ultimately? You make poor food decisions, you're going to gain weight. As you gain weight, what happens? Your sleep deteriorates. What happens? Poor decisions, bad food choices. Mm-hmm. Another vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. And it's extremely common. You know, people who generally don't get enough restorative sleep, as an average, will consume more than 300 more calories each day than they would have if they got a normal night's sleep. Mm-hmm. Now, you may say 300 calories, that's not a lot. What is that? Not even a flavored yogurt? Doesn't seem like a lot. But, you know, it only takes about 3,000 calories to equal a pound of body fat. Mm-hmm. So that's 10 days into this. Give it a month and you're already gaining weight. You've already gained weight 3 pounds a month or more. 3 or 4 pounds a month, and you multiply that up 5 times 6 months. And now you've got a lot of body fat, which gets back to being inflammatory. Body fat increases inflammation, and inflammation threatens our ability to connect to that higher brain center.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot involved. And what we offer people in the book are off ramps. How do you get off this highway that seems endless, where we're constantly making bad decisions, and our bad decisions foster bad decision making forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tough time right now.
Yeah.
Everybody is experiencing unexpected stress. Many people are expecting stress, not only with respect to trying to be with relatives, trying to stay safe, but financial stress and the stress of being alone. When we are powerfully social animals and need social interaction to thrive, so it's a very difficult time. So we have to call out the things that are making the situation worse.
Absolutely. And we also just need to remind ourselves and to remind each other that we have the tools within us to make those changes. You know, we have those tools. We have the ability to rewire our brains. You know, we have the ability to make that shift. And that's what you do in this book. You know, you offer people the tools and, can I even say strategy to rewire rewire your mind to reconnect and to really just to have a better life. And you do that, and they do that by detoxing their minds. So can you just share with us just a few peeks into, you know, obviously not all the strategies because we want people to buy the book, but just like a couple tips that they can start, you know, today that can help
absolutely them on that path. A couple of things I'd recommend. First of all, reconnect to nature. So fundamental. I look behind you, I see plants.
Yeah.
And even having plants in your home before you even get outside has been demonstrated to lower cholesterol, that stress hormone that increases inflammation. So get outside if you have the opportunity. We go through all the scientific studies about why it's important. Mm-hmm. But I think reconnecting to nature is exceedingly valuable. Mm-hmm. I think the idea of paying attention to the quality and quantity of sleep that you're getting. I wear an Oura ring, and it lets me know, there it is, see that? Mm-hmm. Lets me know how much I'm sleeping and how well I'm sleeping. And I would say exercise. You know, I'm sure you've had guests on your show countless times on your Instagram Live, and everybody says to exercise. Well, now we talk about why. We talk about how exercise increases your gene amplification of a chemical called BDNF that allows you to grow new pathways in your brain. Who knew? I mean, wow. My gosh. Well, you know, when I say who knew, the Vedic texts 3,000 years ago knew about sleep. They knew about nutrition. They knew about fire, which is inflammation, and they knew about activity. But they didn't know the mechanisms that we now understand, which I think are really valuable to get your arms around because they tend to validate it. You know, when you got your Dr. Perlmutter on your show, he's saying you should exercise, you should eat less carbs, you should get more sleep and reconnect to other people, meditate, practice empathy, practice gratitude. Great, all well and good, because it's stuff that I happen to believe. But it's not about what I believe. It's about, in the book, the science that we're getting now that says, look, we can show you a functional MRI scan of somebody's brain who was up all night and what it looks like. Somebody's brain who meditates for 20 minutes each day, what that looks like. We can show you the size of the brain's memory center over a period of 1 year in people who engage in aerobics versus those who simply stretch. Mm-hmm. So it's all there. It's low-hanging fruit.
Right.
So it's ripe for the picking, but be careful of the fructose that you consume when you're picking all that fruit.
Well, you know, and that's what I love about all your books. Dr. Perlmutter, is that you really give the science. And I agree with you that, you know, sometimes, even with my clients, you know, there's such a difference between the ones that just do what you say because you told them to do it, and then the ones who understand why you're telling them to eat these foods, to meditate for 20 minutes or do different things. And that's for myself and for all of you, when you understand why, when there's some science behind the why, it just helps you connect to what you're doing more. And it's just another tool, another vehicle to really empower yourselves, you know? And I think that actually helps with rewiring. It helps with the decision-making process because you have that why in the back of your mind, like why this works, and so you do more of it. I just wanted to throw that in. Because
And we actually in the book have a 10-day plan. All of the metrics that we talked about, all the interventions. And then at the end, it's really about taking stock. It's about eating a lower inflammatory diet because inflammation threatens your ability to access prefrontal cortex. Mm-hmm. It's, yes, about exercise, that the changes that you make in your behavior become more indelible in the brain because you're changing the wiring of your brain, like we talked about when we started. Mm-hmm. It's about meditation, about sleep, about exercise, about connecting to nature, and about demonstrating gratitude.
Yeah.
And how that's good for the person who's on the receiving end of that, for sure. But it's also good for me.
Yeah.
That's what absolutely the research shows. If I engage in activity that demonstrates gratitude, I'm helping you, but selfishly, I'm helping myself. And yes, I'm cool with that. I mean, why not? We both benefit. Rising tide raises all boats.
Absolutely.
It is, you know, this book, I'll let your viewers know. I wrote with Austin Perlmutter, MD, an internal medicine specialist, and our son. Mm-hmm. And that was really, it was an amazing, amazing experience to be not only just creating something with you know, our child is 32 now, but the idea that we were experiencing as we were writing the book, going back and forth, and recognizing how valuable these practices are, and how it allowed us to connect even further as father and son, or son and father, I might say.
That is beautiful. And I had several people ask what book, the name of the book. Here it is, you guys. It's called Brainwash. And I'm covering up the name, but it's David and Austin. And what a beautiful gift to be able to do this, you know, as a family. This is your first book, right, that you've done together?
It is. It is. And I think there's a picture in there on the in the book, sorry about that, in the book on the back.
Oh, yeah, right here.
Yeah. So Austin has become a lead author for Psychology Today about these topics, mm-hmm. and has really developed, you know, quite a following, and is he's mentoring me.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It's been that way for many years, and I'm delighted to share that, because he's got it going on, and I've learned a lot from him.
That's beautiful. Well, I mean, if he ever wants to come on and share with our audience, just let me know. You know, I can reach out and have him come on and share his wisdom as well.
You bet. Well, you know what? Why don't we do this one? When you read the book, mm-hmm. and then we'll get you guys connected. You'd love to have him on the podcast. He does well with that.
Oh, that'd be so fun. I'm excited. So I'm definitely going to dive into this right away. You know, there's a couple things that you had mentioned that I do want to bring up, because I found it like it's an intriguing quote. You talk about the disconnection syndrome. And I feel like that's people need to know and understand what that is, because it's happening to them and they don't realize it.
Well, we talk about something that we created called this disconnection syndrome. And it is at multiple levels. We're disconnected from our DNA. Our DNA wants us to be healthy, wants us to survive. The signals that we send to our DNA by the foods that we eat, by our lack of restorative sleep, lack of exercise, and lack of a certain level of stress, I might add, the comfortable life that we have, causes our DNA to express genes that may not necessarily be good for us. When we challenge our lives with caloric restriction, with intermittent fasting, with exercise, it lets our genome know that it needs to step it up a bit, and it expresses genes, therefore proteins, that bid for a better life, more disease resistance, and longevity. Mm-hmm. So that's a connection that we've got. It's sort of the theory behind the paleo diet, That's one level of reconnection. Mm-hmm. We talk about reconnecting the brain, reconnecting to the prefrontal cortex, so that we can be more empathetic, more forward thinking in our decision making. More able to experience the needs and the feelings of other people.
Yes.
We kind of need that today.
Absolutely.
In a very, very big way. Because I think if you look around in society, not taking sides here, but we're very disconnected, especially here in the United States.
Yeah.
And then we look about connection to other people, making those connections, which is challenging in a time when we are told to distance ourselves from other people. Sure, I don't know where you are right now, but we're probably hundreds, if not thousands of miles apart, and yet we are connected.
Yeah.
So we are reconnecting. And finally, we talk about the disconnection syndrome as it relates to being disconnected from our planet, mm-hmm. and the incredible value for us to reconnect to nature, but truthfully, the incredible value to planet Earth when we recognize this connection and do things for the planet that stop the way we are threatening the planet and its existence.
Mm-hmm. And so it's such a, I love that you guys created that, you know, that phrase, because it really sums it up. And it's just, it's great for people to kind of take a step back and think about what that all means and the insight into that. I think that's really important. You know, I had some questions that came through before we even got started that came through because we posted stories and we promoted and shared that this live is going to go on. And one of the questions that came through that I thought was important was if someone has, because they've been experiencing so much stress all year, you know, they haven't been sleeping well, they typically have a, you know, fairly balanced, healthy life, but But 2020 hit, and it had really disrupted them. So their sleep is off, their diet's off. It's not, you know, it's not that they've gained 100 pounds, but they know that their diet's off. They've gained a little bit of weight. Their exercise, just everything is just sort of out the door for them. And they're really concerned about what this has done to their brain and their body, but can't seem to get back on. The question was, you know, what's that damage like? Like, what's that? What's the long-term damage? Because when you say something like one night of sleep equals 60% of this, you know, I think that's why some of the comments are coming in, because people are, it like stresses them out to know that they've been doing this to themselves, which they already know is bad, but it's bad to another level. So I thought, you know, I should bring that up because I know that there's a lot of people that are thinking the same thing.
Well, it doesn't matter how you got on the train. It really doesn't. It could be because you weren't sleeping well. It could be because the news has made you frightened. It could be because your diet is not great. It could be because you are overweight and you're not exercising. All of these things tend to enhance each other. And we talked about that a moment ago, that if you don't sleep well, you make crappy food choices. And if you eat the wrong food, you gain weight and then don't sleep well. So what I would tell anybody who would ask such a question is that we get it. We fully get this vicious cycle. It's why we wrote this book, because we're offering you an off-ramp from this endless highway that leads to bad outcome. Mm-hmm. And that outcome, that off-ramp might be any one of the things that we've talked about, whether it is doing your very best tonight to get a better night's sleep. That's a really good place to start.
Yeah.
In other words, get to bed on time. Make sure your room is dark. Make sure you're not on your computer before you go to bed, because blue light interrupts melatonin production. It is not having caffeine after 2 p.m. Trying to get a little bit of exercise helps you sleep. Find, ask yourself, does my partner keep me up at night? Is he or she tossing and turning, restless leg movements, whatever they may be? Does that interrupt my sleep? And if it is the case, you have to make changes.
Mm-hmm.
Look, let me talk about sleep for just a second. We don't eat for 8 hours a day or exercise, or at least most of us, for 8 hours a day. A third of our lives is spent sleeping. Think about that. So it's really important when we understand that every animal sleeps in some way or another.
Yeah.
We spend a third of our lives involved in this activity that is life-sustaining. It gives us resilience and keeps us going. So I find that the best place to start is to work with people, let them read that chapter even first, and concentrate on them. Because the moment they start getting better sleep, the very next day, they say, you know, I don't think I need to eat that crap right now. I feel different today. I don't know why. Maybe it's the sleep. I don't know. And you know what? I think I'm going to take a walk around the block.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might say the walk around the block, a big deal. And, you know, for those of us who are runners or whatever, you'd say, oh, that's not much exercise, mm-hmm. but it's hugely important. For that person who only went to the mailbox, or not even, to walk around the block is a wonderful first step. Or even walk half a block, or even walk to the mailbox when you wouldn't do it before you spend the day watching TV or just on the couch.
Yes.
So we've got to start somewhere. And what I would impress upon the multitude of viewers that you have right now is every journey begins with the first step, and it's a heck of a lot easier than you think.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do everything that we talk about in Brainwash to start off with. Not at all. Pick whatever you think is going to work for you and get started. It might be that, you know, I'm not keen on exercise. I think I sleep okay, but I never get out in nature. Get out in nature. And if you can, because you live in the middle of a city, get some plants and put them in your home, just like you did.
Yeah.
That is huge. And we review the data as to why that is such a powerful move.
Yeah, no, and thank you for sharing that, because I think it's so important for people to know. First of all, it's not permanent. You know, if you've taken on these different habits, bad habits, things that you are stressed that might be harmful, that are harmful for you, it's not permanent. You can make those changes, and you don't have to stress or overwhelm yourself. I think you've got to do all the things all at once. Just one thing, because one thing leads to another. You know, it's often how I work with people's diets. Like, we'll change one thing, and then we'll change another and another. And exactly what Dr. Perlmutter is saying is it starts to stop, because as you go out in nature or get more exercise or you get a better night's sleep, you're able to naturally make better decisions. And so it just kind of layers upon itself in a really positive way. So don't get too overwhelmed. It's not permanent. You can make it, and you can use his 10-day, his instructions in this book as a start, just sort of as a launching place for it. So I highly recommend. So I'm diving into this as soon as we're done. This weekend I'm diving in. So I need to get with my mom too. So I think she's
it's for young and old. I mean, that book's in 14 languages now around the world. So that's kind of a cool thing.
Oh, it's amazing.
And I want to say one last thing before we go. And that is that these are not easy times. The other day, I had a shitty day. And I do all the things. I do my very best.
Yes.
And I explained to my wife, I said, I'm just in a funk. I miss my children.
Yes.
I miss being able to do the things that we used to do. And, and then when I think about it, what pulled me out of it was, when you look at statistics, you look at what's going on around the world, there are a lot of places that are having a tougher time. So yeah. Get over it and know that you have the tools that we bring you, but that you can leverage these tools and feel better right away. And so there's a lot of things that we can be doing, not the least of which is exercise, meditation, getting the best sleep. My gosh, is it perfect? No, it's not. And is it perfect for everyone, including yours truly? I wish it were, but it isn't. These are tough times. So now more than ever, we have to double down.
Yeah.
On doing what we know will help us and get us through.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful for you guys for writing this book and putting this information out there, because people do need these tools. And I appreciate you sharing that, because I don't think there's a person on this live right now or who just even exists that hasn't had that shitty day and hasn't had that moment or been in that funk. I mean, all of us have. But it's exactly what you said. It's just, you just focus on what you do have. I remember the very beginning of this, and both my sister and I had COVID, and, we didn't see anybody for 3 months. But it was like focusing on what we did have. What is it that we do have here in the house? Even small things like, oh, I have this crystal that I love. And we have these plants that are just small, small things. And then what happens is it just starts again to stop. If you think this little thing that it's amazing I have it, then I think about our dogs and our group. So if your brain, exactly as Dr. Perlmutter said, it starts to kind of rewire itself, then you start focusing on these positive, beautiful things that maybe you overlook sometimes when your brain's off in a different direction. So that's even something that you can do to add on to what we've talked about today. And I know that gratitude is part of this book, and meditation and mindfulness.
Gratitude journal. So let me say, I thank you for today. It feels really good. And I treasure that feeling. And all the hearts that keep flying by on the side of the screen, that means everything. It really means everything at all now. My gosh.
Yes, thank you.
I sure appreciate that. And we'll talk soon. Great to see you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much for today. I appreciate you guys. And you guys, go to Dr. Perlmutter's account. His account's right here at the bottom. Go grab the book. I have everything on my account too. There's a link on the swipe up. So thank you guys so much for joining. Thank you for being supportive. Thank you so much, Dr. Perlmutter. And have a great rest of the day.
Good to see you again.
You too. Okay.